What's up, everybody? I'm your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in for another fantastic jaunt into the automotive industry and all things design related. So stay tuned, because I've got some not necessarily reveals, they're just big hints, and it gets me really excited about the future of the automotive industry. And maybe we'll talk about some other stuff. Who knows? Just stay tuned and find out. Whoops, intermission. It's not even the start of the show yet. Hello, welcome back to Sketchbook Audio. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch. Thanks for tuning in. It is a day here in Michigan. I don't have anywhere to... I need to use my Elgato thingamajiggy over here and put in some beep noises, because that would be kind of funny. I swear a lot, you just don't hear it. So anyways, like, there's a lot of voices going on in my head sometimes, and they're just all, like, swearing at each other, and I, you know, can't say them out loud, because this is technically for all ages. You know, E for everyone. Okay, so now that I've got that out of the way, welcome to the show. As I said before, I'm your host, Ryan Sketch. Not, like, a ton of cool things to show you and talk about, but there are some interesting, like, little hints at the future, and I'm super excited to talk about them. Some of them are automotive related, and some of them are actually not automotive at all. They are animation and cartoons. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to have a little bit of fun with it, and, you know, just see where it goes. I've got some questions that I'm going to post on anchor.fm, which, by the way, if you didn't know, is now part of Spotify. So if you're a big Spotify listener, you can watch and listen to, or either or, I guess, my podcast, which is also technically a vlog now. You can do that on Spotify. You can do it on anchor.fm. You can do it on Stitcher. You can do it on iHeart. You can do it on Apple, iTunes, whatever. You can do it anywhere. It's awesome, and it's a lot of fun. Just make sure you bring protection. I'm just kidding. What would you protect yourself from? Who knows? So anyways, let's dive into these little tidbits. You can see them already at the top of my page here. We're just going to go down them one by one. The first one, this one is pretty awesome. I'm going to remember to move my screen over here. So there we go, down at the bottom now. This one's pretty fun, because it's... If you know anything about American Expedition Vehicles, and I just lost it, there it is. Okay, American Expedition Vehicles, AEV, they are based here in Michigan, I believe still in Wixom. And what they have been known for in the past is, like, everything Wrangler. Anything and everything related to suspension, wheels, appearance, they are the company that has done probably the best in upfitting Jeep Wranglers. Now, they started with, I believe... whatever the generation before the JK was, which I think is YJ, maybe, or TJ, one of those two. They started there, and then they moved their way into the JK, and then they moved up into the JL. And then just a few years ago, it was probably like five years ago, whenever the launch of the Colorado Bison happened, that's when AEV really started to get involved in not just the aftermarket, but in the OEM tier one supplier, and really putting their brand, their badge, right into production models. And what we're seeing right here is that powerhouse brand name. It's the big giant Bison, which kind of looks like Lamborghini's Bull, but it's a Bison. It's meant more for power and off-road prowess, and just being able to cover different terrains, where a Bull really doesn't go on anything but flat surfaces, maybe up some hills occasionally. But for the most part, a Bison is the one that really does the, like, out in the wild. I mean, look at the background. It's got, like, all these mountains and stuff. That's where a Bison is. So one of the big one that's really just making a splash in the automotive industry is this HD AT4X, so it's all-terrain four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, and the extreme AEV packages. And I mean, just looking at them, they are extreme. They're insane. There's tons of stuff going on here. There's wheels. There's new front bumpers that you don't see on the production or standard GMC Sierra. Whether it's the base model 1500 or the Super Duties like these ones, you've got front bumpers with tow hooks and a full winch. It's built in. It's not just something you see. It's not like, I mean, all you see is the hook, and that's pretty cool. It's all incorporated. And then you get, like I said, wheels, probably a little bit of a graphics package, front and rear bumpers, and then a lot of suspension upgrades. AEV is like steroids for Jeep, for now GMC and Chevy, and it's like you already take a beastly model and then you just inject it with steroids, and the steroids say AEV on the side, that's the brand, and you get these badass machines, and they're just really cool. The first truck that they really did was the Ram DS and the DT, which is the previous generation Ram and the current generation Ram, and they had the Prospector, and then they had another one, and I can't remember what it was, but they took a Ram, they lifted it up, they took basically the Power Wagon or the Ram Rebel, and then just took it to 11, gave it awesome wheels, gave it a big snorkel, grills, bumpers, hoods, everything straight from AEV, and they were just really cool. Most of that, though, was aftermarket. None of that really went to production, but this is production. This is everything AEV is known for, but now covered under a factory warranty, straight from the factory, and they look great. They do things like incorporating new fog lights, I think from Rigid, but they got the suspension upgrades, skid plates, transfer cases, lifts, you name it, they add it into the vehicle. And in some cases, they do have different seating appointments. They don't show it in this one, but I would imagine somewhere it says AEV somewhere, maybe just on the side bolster, because after all, it is a production vehicle. So GMC probably wants to show their GMC badge or the Sierra badge proudly on their seats before they did AEV. But I can tell you that the AEV logo is stamped somewhere on the bumpers. That's been a pretty big move for all of the production vehicles that they do. Now, Jeep also has production vehicles that are tuned by AEV, and I will show you that real quick. Let's see. So they had the... I gotta find it. So it's the 20th anniversary Level 2 by AEV. You can get this from the factory. It's beautiful. These are the wheels, actually, I want. I think they're gorgeous. I just hope I can find them in bronze. But it's a beautiful, like, classic dial phone look. It kind of reminds me of Alfa Romeo as well. And since I own an Alfa Romeo, this feels like home to me. But you get the big, giant AEV stamped front bumper. The same thing with the rear. I think they add the skid plates as well. That's theirs. And not in this case, but in some cases they have a different hood stamped by AEV. But you can see right here, here's the list of everything you typically get from AEV. So front skid plates with the light bar. So the skid plate down here is this thing down here. you get the I cannot pronounce that. Savri. Two wheels. That's these beautiful things right here. You get the off-road lights, you get the front bumper, the rear bumper, and the tire carrier, front skid plate, jack base, I don't know what this is, ProCal snap, the vehicle build plaque, so it identifies, you know, what number it came from, and that it's authentic AEV parts, and then some other stuff from Mopar. And then you go down here and you get even more stuff, rear differential cover, front differential cover, painted interior hardtop. So they just take a normal interior, a normal hardtop, and then they just do their fancy magic painting, and they spray paint the interior. But AEV actually paints their cars, period. So if you donate one to them, you know, say it's like black or white or some other color, you can have it painted in one of AEV's signature colors. And they have a really cool lime / mossy green. It's real bright, but it's very earthy. I love it. And there's some other colors as well. So you can do that as an option. Now there's decals. There's a bunch of different things that go into these vehicles. But seeing that you can actually get this from production is awesome. And it looks like, in this case, the 20th anniversary editions are limited to just 150 of them. But that's not going to be the case for... Where did it go? Oh yeah, I went forward here. It's not going to be the case for this. I'm not going to go over all the power and specs. I just wanted to say that, you know, this is a fresh design on something that is very beefy and powerful, and it's coming from AEV, so you know it's going to be good, and you know they're going to stand behind their warranty and their capabilities. And it just looks cool. I mean, this is just a total different look than what GMC typically offers, and I like it. I really like it. So if you're interested in a AEV-tuned vehicle from the factory, General Motors offers the Silverado, the Colorado, the Canyon, and the GMC Sierra with AEV bits, and it's pretty awesome. If you want to go the Jeep route, Jeep offers it. Ram, I don't think, has an AEV package yet, but I wouldn't be too remiss to think that it's not going to happen eventually. It's a popular package. In fact, let me show you real quick. So if you go to AEV Conversions website, so that's AEV-conversions.com, you can see everything that they offer. Here's that green I was talking about. I love that green. There's like a slightly different firecracker red. It's more towards like Spitfire orange. you know, they just make off-roading fun. Pricey, but worth every penny. I mean, the wheels themselves are gorgeous, but they have so many different accessories that, like, you could spend hours on this website trying to figure out what exactly you want and never go wrong with any of it. Okay, so on to the next one. This one I thought was really cool because after working at Toyota, I just had this sense that this wasn't the end, that we were going to see more than just the GR Supra, more than just the GR... it's not the BR, the GT86, whatever. There's so many different letters and numbers to these cars. I wish they would just stick with names. Like, Supra was great. But then we got the Corolla GR and the Yaris GR. Actually, the reverse. It was the Yaris GR first and then the Corolla GR. All-wheel drive, turbocharged, drift monsters. And at a really good price, too. But Toyota is saying that they want more. They want to expand the GR Performance group and just make it, you know, like SRT has become for Dodge. And that's great. I think that's something a lot of people want. People have money and they're willing to spend a little bit more on something that's unique, just fun to drive, and from an automaker that they trust for the most part. So, you know, there's not a lot to go off of. This is just a tease, but I would say it's safe to assume that we're going to start to see some electric cars with the GR badging. Might look a little bit different. Who knows? That's intriguing. Would love to see what that looks like. But we're also going to see, I would imagine, because SUVs are popular, we would start to see some SUVs tuned in such a way. We already get TRD on everything, from the Camry to the Tacoma, the Tundra, and all the things in between. So it's safe to say that if GR is as successful as it has been, and their current CEO, Koji Sato, you know, if they're pushing for this, it's probably going to happen. There's a business case for it, because you take a product that's been around for a while, and then you just throw on some good bits, like AEV does. You throw on some desirable bits that people go and put on their vehicle anyways from the aftermarket, and you sell it at a price that's comfortable, reasonable, and just gives you the comfort of a factory-backed warranty. You know, you can't really go wrong with that kind of stuff. And I'm excited to see what that means for Toyota. Okay, I'm not going to jump to this one quite yet because I already talked about it last week, but I will show you guys some more pictures, and we're just going to dabble in that briefly. But there was one other piece of news that popped up that I wanted to get to, and let me see if I can find it. Here it is. Okay. I think the title speaks for itself, but you might be a little bit confused. It looks like a Saab. It is a Saab, but it's not a Saab. So what is it then? It's a Saab. Saab was disbanded in 2010, and they got bought out by a firm. Like, everything that was Saab related got absorbed by this conglomerate called NEVS, N-E-V-S. And I forget what NEVS stands for, but basically it's a group. It's an acronym that stands for a bunch of different companies. And there were some issues with being able to use the Saab logo on the cars and the names like 94X and 95 and 93, all those things, they kind of got thrown to the wind. But the company has still been doing stuff. They are pretty much hibernating, but not sleeping on the job. They are doing stuff, and here is the proof. And this isn't just a spy shot. This isn't a leaked image. This is straight from the boss man, and he is showing. So it's CEO Nina Salander. Ooh, boss woman? I don't know who owns the company anymore, but, you know, this is straight from that person, and it's beautiful. It's got a bit of a Ford Mach-E with this dual cowl look here, kind of like a Polestar a little bit, but more sporty and just Swedish as hell. I love it. I love this door handle. I love how it wraps around the center stack. I love that there's so many different colors going on. You got a black, you got a white, you got a gray, you've got the silver trim, and you've got the big red button that you're not supposed to ever touch. Actually, if you wanted to know what that big red button is, because you've probably seen spy shots, as a vehicle tester myself, that is the, like, push it whenever you have a problem button. So whenever you start experiencing something wrong as a tester driving one of these vehicles, you know, it could be your radio, it could be your HVAC, it could be the brakes, it could be the windows, whatever it is, you hit that button and it logs everything that's happening right at that moment. And or within like a small window, because obviously you might be doing something and you can't reach for that button right away. But it helps engineers and testers really identify where the problems are before the vehicle ever gets to market. Now, obviously, there's some vehicles out there like, well, I won't name any because I don't want to get in trouble by somebody, but there are some vehicles out there that may have wanted to spend more time doing the red button tests. But just looking at this vehicle, I love it. It speaks to a whole new generation of Saab, but you look at this and it still gives you everything that Saab was really well known for. You've got that helmet style hood or a roof line and greenhouse. You've got the taillights that are a full sweep. It kind of reminds me of like a next gen 9.5. And that's a great thing because that was a sexy, sexy sedan. In fact, let's take a brief look at, you know, the last Saab 9.5 and some other cars. Because, you know, it's a real shame that this car just disappeared. That's a handsome vehicle. You know, it doesn't even look that dated, to be honest. There are other cars that, you know, are currently out that look far dated than this. And this is back from 2011. So, you know, it's just a real shame that this car just up and died. The interior is probably where it needed a little bit of love because it was still riding on that GM kind of cheap plastic interior. And a lot of these parts were carryover to other GM products. Even the steering wheel ended up in a Camaro and some other vehicles. But, just so you know, General Motors owned Saab for a brief stint there. And, you know, it didn't get the love that it deserved. And now it's become a bit of a cult classic and people are demanding it come back. In fact, actually, one of the students that I have been mentoring over the past few months, he actually did a Saab and it's so cool. I wish I could show it to you guys. I don't have the pictures and everything up right now, but David did a phenomenal job of making a coupe like touring vehicle that is practical, electric, sporty, and everything Saab stands for. And I wish I could show it to you, but he did a phenomenal job. He did a clay model, a CAD model, the sketches, just everything. And he went hog wild, and I think he's going to do really good in the automotive design industry. But, you know, we're not going to get this car anytime soon, but this is definitely something that exists. If you read this article, this vehicle, the Emily, which is a weird name. It's not even acronym. It's just Emily. And which is weird for Saab because Saab was always like 9.3, 9.5, 9.4X, 9.7X, just numbers, you know, 9,000. There really wasn't anything in there that was named with the exception of some trims like Aero. But, you know, this is something that I really hope happens, especially when you look at these numbers, 484 horsepower and 600 miles of range. Polestar can get there with the horsepower, but not that range. So this is something that really needs to happen, especially if this brand ever wants to make a comeback. And I think people would really buy into this, especially since people were buying Sops to begin with here in the United States. So that's that. The next thing I want to jump on real quick is this Cadillac picture that popped up. Some leaked images or some spy shots, if you will. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this handsome-looking Cadillac compact crossover is going to share a lot with the Chevy Equinox EV, probably, I think, the Acura EV SUV, as well as the Honda, which I think is the, not Prelude, is it Prelude? Prologue, crossover. And so the only reason I'm suggesting that is because it has similar proportions, but also because General Motors and Honda have a partnership where General Motors is selling its platform and its batteries, its Ultium platform and batteries, to Honda, and Honda makes vehicles based off of that. Now, when you share platforms like that, you kind of are restricted a little bit by proportions and just platform dimension, but because it's a skateboard type platform, it can be scaled up and down. So some of these vehicles might be a little bit bigger, might be a little bit smaller, might have a longer hood, might have a longer rear end, whatever. But for the most part, they have a similar silhouette. But this one is very handsome, and I like how raked this windshield is. It's very aerodynamic. But the thing I really like about this car that I noticed after really looking at these pictures was, here's the third brake light. And if you look at it from the side, it's this tiny little niblet that just a lot of automotive designers, including myself, have put this up in the spoiler or up here. You know, there's like a shark fin that goes the entire width or length from the actual fin to here. Or it's just a shark fin. There's a little LED on there. You can do a lot. There's not a huge standard on the Chimsel center high mounted stoplight. It just needs to be bright and it needs to be in the center. Hence the name Chimsel center high mounted stoplight. So it's in the center, it's mounted up high, and it's a stoplight, or a brake light, if you will. So, but it's got the very Cadillac Lyric-esque fin style brake lights, and overall it just looks great. But right here, this is interesting too, there's an LED light bar here, so there must be one over here. Maybe these are the turn signals and these are the brakes, who knows. You have the rear fog lights down here, or the reflectors, if you will. And then in the front, this is very Cadillac right now, and I love it. I think this looks fantastic. You have a very flat grille, very aerodynamic, not a lot going on here as far as ventilation goes. That's down here for the intercooler, but or for cooling the battery too. But you can tell there's the charging port right here, and overall, I really like this vehicle, and I'm excited to see what one of these things looks like in the flesh. But I'm also excited to see what this looks like compared to the Equinox EV, the Blazer EV, that Prologue from Honda, and the Acura EV SUV, whatever they're going to call it. So looking forward to this too. If you see this, grab some pictures and send them my way. We'd love to take a look at them and see what we got going. Okay, so enough about cars today, because there's not, like I said, too much going on in the automotive industry. Most of these are just like little, you know, recall issues and some buying issues with some of these vehicles that are on pre-orders. So I wanted to talk about, we're going to take a quick move over to Sony, I think it's pictures.com, and I wanted to talk about this, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I should have been talking about this a long time ago, but we're going to do it right now and we're going to have some fun. For a moment though, we're going to take a quick break. I got to grab something to drink, use the restroom. You guys can go ahead and do the same. Come on back and we'll get talking about Spider-Man Across the Universe, or Across the Spider-Verse. Be right back.
From the people who brought you the epic energy drinks, Reign, comes a whole new breed of super drinks. Reign. Storm. There you go. I should do commercials. I should just have like this big, deep, bellowing voice talking about products like this.
And then they should sponsor me. I'm not sponsored by Reign, but that would be pretty cool. I've also wanted to be sponsored by The Rock's. I just forgot the name of his energy drink. But, you know, I drink a lot of them, so it would make sense to get a little bit of love from the company that I keep giving my money to. So willy-nilly-like. Anyways, So we're back. We're going to talk about Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And if you didn't know, that is the sequel to the much-loved, high-grossing, it's probably the highest-grossing animated film in a ever, I think. It was recently maybe beat by another movie not too long ago, Super Mario's. I don't remember. I can't be for sure. But this one takes the cake for being the most just ambitious and badass Spider-Man movie we have ever gotten. And this one, specifically Across the Spider-Verse, ups the ante to like 20, 100, because it gives us Spider-Man we've seen across history, across time, for the past, 60 years? And, you know, it's just every Spider-Man fan, nerd, geek's wet dream to see all of them on camera. It's not live. We would love to see that live. We got a hint of it from the last Spider-Man movie when we got Tom Holland, Tobey Maguire, and Andrew Garfield all in the same thing. We even got them to point at each other. We're going to see that again in this. It's already in the trailer. But I want to watch the trailer with you guys real quick because it's just, it's so good.
One and only Spider-Man, and things are going great.
Oh yeah, you were supposed to be here at 5.
All right, whatever.
Whatever.
Wow.
Whatever. Oh.
So are you like a cow or a Dalmatian?
I am the Spot.
That's not funny. Don't do that.
Miles' grades are pretty good. A in AP Physics.
That's my little man.
And a B in Spanish.
Are you doing all of that?
Miles,
are you trying
to... Mira, es un imposible.
I gotta go. All right, bye.
He's lying to you. And I think you know it.
What's up, danger?
Miles!
Wanna get out of here?
Oh, when? So wait a minute. There's an elite crew with all the best spider people in it?
Who's the new guy?
This is unbelievable.
This is the lobby.
Miguel O'Hara.
The whole thing was his idea.
What's a guy got to do to join this spider team?
You can...
All right, I'm going to stop it right there. I actually wanted to pause that, but it didn't work out quite the way I had hoped. There's that one sequence where you get to see Spider-Man and a couple other ones walking through sort of a triangular vortex thing. And you see all of these other Spider-Men in sort of what is like a waiting room. And I think that's what they refer to it as. But all of the Spider-Men across every different universe, galaxy, whatever it is, time period, they're there. So you get the Indian Spider-Man. You get it's like a Bollywood type. You get Miles Morales. You get Tom Holland, Andrew Garfield, and Tobey Maguire. I believe they all added their voice. At least Tom Holland did. That's confirmed. There's just a lot of different versions in there. You get Spider-Gwen. You get, I think, Venom. They're all in there, from what I can tell. Iron Spider. And of course, you get Spider-Man 2099, which is Miguel O'Harris. Or Miguel Harris? Or O'Harris? I forget which what his last name is. But anyways, you get him. And he is very upset with something that Miles Morales has done. And it breaks down basically to, or boils down basically to, Miles has to choose whether or not to save the entire universe, the entire galaxy, all of the Spider-Man, or just one person. And it's quite beautiful because this is sort of a redemption song for Spider-Man and Gwen Stacy. You know, Spider-Man... In this case, Andrew Garfield had to watch his girlfriend die and just snap her neck and break her belly. Oh, it was terrible. It still makes me sick thinking about it. But that's what happens in the comic book. Green Goblin throws her off something and she falls and plummets to her death. And Spider-Man is unable to save her. In Spider-Man 3, we got to see Andrew Garfield get some redemption by saving MJ, which is really cool. But I think this is going to bring it back home even more and really help Miles Morales, who's far younger than those other Spider-Men, really understand what it means to have responsibility and have to make choices. Because that is kind of the epitome of being a superhero is the choices you make you who you are. And it's really a strong story for just any individual to learn from and understand. And I love that. So I'm excited to see this, to say the least, if you can't tell from my voice. More so from this than the story is just the artwork. If you're not blown away by this style, I don't know what rock you're living under. This is awesome. There are so many layers to this movie. It almost feels like it's in 3D all the time, but it's clearly not. And you just get so much depth and excitement and color. And it's all from the style, the stylized look and feel of this character. And even more so, they all have their own style, their own flavor, but it all melds very nicely together. It all looks very cohesive, like they're all done by the same artists. And it just works. Let's dive into this for a second. Who's in this picture? You got Scarlet Spider. You got Spider-Man 2099. You've got Peter B. Parker. You get Spider-Cat. I don't even know who some of these are. You get Spider-Punk. There's Iron Spider. There's, this is one of my favorite. This is the Spider-Man from Spider-Man Unlimited, where he steals, Mr. Fantastic's, nanobots, and he creates a spider suit from nanotech, and he has the ability to go invisible. It enhances his spider sense, and he's fighting Venom and Carnage the entire time in another version of Earth. It's like Earth 99 or Earth X. I forget what it's called, but really great TV show. You get the Human Spider or Man Spider. This is the manga Spider Man. Man, there's just so many in here. Of course, you get Gwen Stacy, and I'm assuming you're going to get some variants of her as well. Spider-Gwen right here. Spider-Woman is right here. So, you know, who's to say we don't get a ton more female versions too, which is awesome, because I think, you know, it just makes everything more balanced and fun for everybody, for every gender, for every race. This is the movie for you because it speaks to everybody. Oh, and there's the bombastic Bagman, which is fantastic. So stay tuned for this movie. This movie comes out very soon. This is June 2nd. There is a movie coming out May 5th. What is it? It's the last Guardians of the Galaxy. It ties up the trilogy and allows James Gunn to kind of do his own thing over at DC. Really excited about that because it feels more grounded and it feels a little bit darker, but at the same time, it really fills in the gaps that we don't get from Rocket, from anywhere else, and then makes things a little bit more real to them. So I'm sure James Gunn is going to make it very lighthearted, but at the same, because that's just who he is. He's funny. He's lighthearted. It's kind of like Taika Waititi, but I think unlike Taika, he's going to hit those heart, you know, centric things, those things that really make us human. I will say though that Taika did a great job with that movie about Hitler and I forget what it was called, but Jojo Rabbit. Jojo Rabbit was very controversial but very fun, and I don't want to say it made light of World War II or Auschwitz or anything like that, but it's certainly, man, it's hard to say this because I don't know what the right way to say this is, but if you're young and you don't understand the horrors of the Holocaust, Jojo Rabbit kind of helps you, like, ease into it versus just going to, and I say this probably lightly and I shouldn't, but, you know, versus going to a Holocaust museum and you're just bombarded with the evils and the terror and the pain that was in that. And that's people's lives. It's people's histories. Not trying to downplay that at all. It's just, you know, some people are more sensitive to it and or don't quite understand it. And Jojo Rabbit helped you live both sides of it. The joy and love that was held by the Jewish community in, you know, brothers in arms trying to survive and live against this evil. And it made you wonder, like, what were the kids' lives like? What were they thinking? Were they still trying to pretend and be children? Or, You know, are they already forced into this brainwashed mentality where, you know, they're already evil by the age of 9? And it's fun. Obviously controversial. I don't want to speak too much to it. But if you want a good, fun, exhilarating movie, you got to check out Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, because the first one was all of that and more. So I can only imagine this is just going to take that to the extremes and be perfect for everybody. So that's all I have for today. I'll keep up on what's happening in the art community. I will say, though, if anybody was wondering about doing clay sculpting, because that's something I do, I just don't really have a way to show it to you guys. And you're in the Michigan area, or if you're not, try to look and see if your community college or just another college offers a certificate program, or even an associate's, where you can get a few really good hands-on classes for clay sculpting. And they'll teach you everything you need to know about automotive clay sculpting, and that is it. That's all you get. That's what you need to focus on if that's what you want to do with your life, is be an automotive clay sculptor. That's what I do. That's what I am so happy about learning and doing more of and teaching. So if you have any questions about it, let me know, because I've been teaching it for about 8 years now at the Drive One Tech Center in Roseville, Michigan. But if you're also just wondering, you know, where can I get more information about it from my local college or from the college that I'm talking about, Macomb Community College, shoot me a message. I will let you know, and happy to help guide people in whatever it is that their heart is guiding them to do. So until next time, I'm your host, Ryan Sketch. Remember, be good to one another. We've only got this one life to live. And try to find something that you've never done before. Try something new this weekend, this week, and be afraid to take chances. Be afraid to fail, because failure is only failure if you let it be failure. Otherwise, it's a chance to learn, it's a chance to grow, and it's a chance to just be you and try something different, something you never thought maybe you were actually probably pretty good at. All right, love you guys, and I will see you and talk to you next time here on Sketchbook Audio.